bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh,
everyone. A little chilly day, but it wasn't bad, is it? If you had snow the other day, I just used my broom. I didn't have to use a shovel at all to get it off, which is nice. It was so cold that it was freezing and not sticking, but if you waited the next day, then you had to shovel. So early bird catches a worm, right? So what's happening? Anybody want to share any praise this morning? What's going on?
Hello, everyone. First, I want to say that I'm praising my Father God today because now I know all you women say that we do it too, but he helped me with this, but I've lost 50 pounds. So, and I know all the women are saying, well, we do it too, because it's not an easy thing to do. But then I went to the doctor on Wednesday and got some pretty bad news. If y'all know me, people who know me know I'm a smoker. I smoke. It's an awful habit, and my doctor has told me that I am starting emphysema. So now's the time. I really need everybody in here to pray for me because I gotta quit. It's either that or die, and I don't wanna die. I wanna see my beautiful grandchildren. You know, that surprised me here today that I'm happy about. So please, if everyone can pray for me, my name is Kelly, if you don't know me, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
We're just praising God for the way he works things out for good. You know that our son and his wife and their son was in an accident, a car accident. And they loved that van, and it was a something that they had gotten very inexpensively from our church family here. And they just thought there's no way they're going to be able to afford to get anything like that. And it just looked kind of bad. It looked bleak. It looked like the insurance wasn't going to come through, and they were just kind of trying to figure out what they could get, and they were going to have to go in debt. Anyway, long story short, they came around and money started coming in from various places, from the car accident and from his work because he didn't do whatever. Anyway, they started adding it up, and they came up with an amount and said, "Lord, now we have $7,400 that they want to spend on a van," and they wanted to keep it within that amount. And as they were looking at cars, there were so many yucky cars out there. And then Thursday night, my daughter-in-law called me and said, "Would you pray? Because we've got this van that looks just like the one that they had lost, but it was a 2014, less miles. But they were adding things up, and they thought it was going to be a little bit over what they wanted to budget. And so they said, "Can you pray that we can get that one?" And so Friday came, and the people that they talked to, that this person right off the bat said, "We're Christians. We run it as a Christian company." And they were true to their word. And as they met our family, our kids, they kind of said, "We're going to take money off for this, and we're going to take money off for this, and we're going to guarantee this, and we're going to do this." And the amount that they gave to them was like $7,360. And I'll tell you, the Lord is good, because even as we were thinking about gas money, they went back and forth to Aetna, several times. That was probably $40 worth. So they spent exactly what they had, and it is praise to God. And that's what they kept saying. This was a God thing. It was God. It was God. And isn't that, we serve a great God, isn't it?
It's the same key, except it's silver.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to thank everybody for your prayers, your cards, your calls. For Bob, and he has moved to Mayfair Village Assisted Living, and we have our own studio apartment and privacy and quiet, and he's making progress. Our goal is to have him be strong enough to come home. We have been fighting with the VA to try to get a stair lift so that he could be able to go upstairs and have a shower when he does get home. And I'm saying when, because I believe that that's God's plan, and I hope that you will continue to pray with us in that direction, that he does get strong enough to come home, and he loves visits, he loves phone calls. So, like I say, he's making progress, but he's very weak. And you got to remember, he's 91, and so it takes a little longer for a 91 person to get stronger. But I just want to thank the family here for your prayers and your concern and your cards and everything. So just know that we love you and we thank you and we thank the Lord for his blessings that we've made progress. Thank you.
Don't forget to pray for Everett as well. He's recovering slowly. I think he's in New Albany. I can't remember the name of the place, but Verna has that information if you want to visit him as well. So, and other ones, I don't know where some other ones are if they're sick, but I don't see some people here this morning. They're usually here, so just pray for them in general. And
Roxanne's recovering.
Yep, Roxanne's recovering slowly. Brian said a little bit at a time, step by step. So keep praying for her as well. So let's just pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for allowing us to be here, be with the requests that you heard this morning, Lord, for Kelly and for Bob and for Roxanne and for Everett and for all the different ones, those who are not here this morning, and I'm not sure if they're sick, I haven't heard, but just be with them, the ones that we're missing as part of the family. I know the Neelys are sick as well, and Dan and Heather, and just different ones, so thanks for those who were able to be here this morning, worship together, fellowship together, sing together, be here to support one another. Lord, help us to remember to pray for each other throughout the week, different needs and concerns, and those who travel. I know Alex travels back and forth from school, and so I pray to be with her and just the rest of our family here that have different needs, with Caleb recovering, and I'm sure there's many more, Lord, that I'm not thinking of this morning, but to be with each one of them this morning, and just guide and direct us in your way and your will. As we see things around us kind of falling apart, we know that you're there to help hold us up and lift us up and help us get through the trials and struggles that we face each day. Help us, Lord, in our finances, Lord, in our relationships, with our health, with our spiritual activities and relationship with you. Thank you for protection that you've given us throughout this week, the protection that you keep your hand upon us, Lord. And we just give you the praise in your name. Amen. So we do this once or twice a year, and so we're going to do it this time. We have David Neely was going to be part of the membership as well as an associate member. They're sick this morning, so they're not going to be here, but the other three are here. We have some that are considering later on. So the privileges and blessings which we have within the fellowship of our church are very sacred and precious as we come together as a group, as a church, because we're encouraged to do so. In Hebrews 10:25, it says we're not to give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. So we encourage one another more when we're in fellowship, aren't we? When we're together, when we're here with one another. It's okay to do it. You can do cards and letters and texts and stuff, but it's not the same thing as being in the church. A lot of the church seems to have moved, you know, TV and radio and whatever, internet, but it's not the same as when you're actually in person. And we've lost some of that, I think, today of what that means to be in fellowship with one another. When you can say stuff about somebody behind their back, which you may not say in front of their face, right? So it's better to just say it face to face and get things out. But we know that all Christians make up the church of God and believe that he's talking about local church in this verse. And only in the local church can you meet together to encourage one another personally. If you were talking about the church collective of all Christians, it would be impossible for all the Christians in the world to meet at the same time. So he's talking about local bodies. Church members should be people who are like-minded in their belief in Jesus Christ, committed to meeting together for the purpose of being taught the word and then living it out through service, taking communion, praying together, fellowshipping, encourage each other, and a body that welcomes those who want to be identified as part of that group. And in some places, being part of a church means certain death, yet people still choose to be part of that church, don't they? The disciples following Christ meant certain death for them, but yet they still chose to follow him because they knew that he was right, and they knew that was the thing that they should do. But for us, it means commitment to Christ through this group. We're committed to each other, to helping each other, to living out our life as a Christian in the group and outside of this church. But all of us, whatever our age or position, stand in need of Christ's church and those means of grace which belong to the body, which are made available. So I believe joining a church is both important and beneficial, whether you're here for 2 years or 50 years or more. I also believe membership's a choice we're all free to make. You don't have to be a member to come to church. You're welcome whether you choose to be a member or not. You can still come. You don't have to be a member of the church. So this morning we have four among us who desire to become members. Well, three among us and one not among us yet, but he's here in spirit. And the visible fellowship is represented by a local church. We have John and Donna, Jack and David Neely, who've chosen to be identified as members of this church, contribute to the church, serve the church, hold us accountable to the word of God, and be held accountable themselves in deed and in thought. So John and Donna and Jack would come forward. Face whichever way you want. Face this way, that way, whatever way you want to face, it up to you. You might want to face it that way because Jack's over there. I'm just kidding. Okay, these three standing here today desire to enter into covenant relationship as members of Life in Christ Fellowship. with all the accompanying rights and privileges and responsibilities. They all testify to being Christian. They've received or will receive the sacrament of baptism, have been reviewed and accepted the guiding principles and a priority of life as a polity of life in Christ. I'm trying to hurry because I know I have a message later on, so I'm trying to do this quickly. I don't want you to fall asleep during the message, so. They've been recognized as manifesting in spirit and practice God's work of grace within their hearts. It'd be better if I had all this memorized, wouldn't I? But I don't have a photographic memory, so I have to read this. Okay, John, Don, and Jack, you're part of the Church of Jesus Christ, but there's something about belonging to a local body that provides a deeper experience shared with others in that body. Today you come seeking union with this body of believers, this local church, and it's through this body that you'll be able to serve the Lord, to meet with other Christians, encourage each other, and be encouraged. And you'll have the privileges and responsibilities that come with membership and associate membership, which would be David, in life in Christ. As part of this process, I'm going to ask you a few questions regarding your experience, faith, and purpose, that we may know your heart and intentions as a person being admitted into membership of this church. So I'm going to read a long set of questions, and then you can say whatever you want to say at the end. Yes, I believe, but that's would be the answer. But you can say, no, I don't believe that, and then we just have you sit down. Anyway, okay. So there's a long set of questions. Otherwise, I'm not going to have you answer every single question. I'll just read the whole list. Do you believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? That Jesus Christ the Son suffered in your place on the cross, that he died and rose again, that he now sits at the right hand of the Father until he returns to judge all people on the last day? Do you believe in the Holy Scriptures, that they're inspired by the Word of they're inspired and they're the Word of God? And by the grace of God, every person has the ability and responsibility to choose between right and wrong, that those who repent of their sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are justified by faith? Do you believe that God not only counts believers as righteous, but that he makes them righteous, perfecting them in love through sanctification, or he sets us apart, and providing for their growth in grace at every stage of their spiritual life, enabling them through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to live a victorious life? You may answer, yes, I believe. Do you have the assurance that the Holy Spirit lives in you and rests in you as a result of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You may answer, yes, I do. Do you accept our membership commitments and elementary principles as biblical guidelines for your conduct? Do you accept the authority of the guiding principles of life in Christ in matters of church government? You may answer, yes, I do. Do you recognize your obligation to God and the church? And do you purpose to contribute your time, talents, and resources as the Lord has prospered you for the support of the gospel in order to help the church fulfill its mission in the world? You may answer, yes, I do. By coming here today, you're publicly indicating that it's your purpose to confess God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to be your God and the object of your highest love. And you accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Redeemer, the Holy Spirit to be your Sanctifier, Comforter, and Guide. You joyfully dedicate yourself to God that within the everlasting covenant of his grace, you might be used in his service to glorify and honor him. And you promise to hold him as the highest good of your life, that you will give diligent attention to the commandments and practice principles of his word, the Bible. You'll seek to honor the advancement of his kingdom, and that forsaking all ungodliness and worldly desires, you'll live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You also purpose to join yourselves to this local church, submitting yourselves to its principles and government, and by walking in love and fellowship with all its members, seek its peace, purity, and growth in grace. Do you freely and sincerely devote yourself to be the Lord's within this fellowship of this church? The answer, I do. Just in case you're wondering, I went over all this ahead of time. That's why I'm reading it faster, because they have already read all this. So if you're thinking I'm just saying all this stuff, they'd be like, what did he say? We already covered all this, and I gave them copies of what I was going to say beforehand, so that way they would know what I was saying. Okay, would everybody in the congregation please stand? Now address the congregation of this church. Do you, the members of this church, receive these standing before you into this fellowship as beloved sisters and brothers, and promise to walk with them in love, to instruct, counsel, admonish, and cherish them, and to watch over them with all long-suffering, gentleness, and love? You may answer, we do.
We do.
Please join me in welcoming these as members of our church. Let's give them a hand. Don't go away. Don't go away. Get back up here. Get back up here. My. Man, she has free hands. The board members will come and shake their hands. The current board members come and shake their hands while they're here. Okay, you may be seated. Now you can sit down, Donna.
Okay.
All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this time together, for having new members join, and for having everybody be able to come today and experience this opportunity. Pray be with us through the rest of the service. Be with those who couldn't be here this morning in your name. Amen.
Just believing, others say it's self-deceiving, inventing childish dreams to get us through. Deep inside me there's a yearning for true wisdom, not just learning. I'd trade all my clever questions for one answer that is true. I do believe you are the one, the home I've longed to find, my only home, God's only Son. I do believe, I touch, I see, that all along you've longed to be my Lord, my God. Lord, you know I need some answers. Questions eat at me like cancer. Make me once again a simple child. Help me take the risk of losing. Lose it all to find in choosing to believe you are the answer, earth and heaven reconciled. I do believe you are the one, the home I've longed to find, my only hope, God's only Son. I do believe, I touch, I see, that all along you've longed to be. I do believe you are the one, the home I've longed to find, my only hope, God's only Son. I do believe, I thy touch I see. That all along you've longed to be. My Lord, my God. My Lord, my
I leave this on, Sam, or I turn it off? Is this on? I'm not on? Is it on? Should be, the blue light should be on, so I should be on. Better together, that's what I chose for the topic this morning. I figured it's pretty appropriate for a membership to talk about that. So studies have shown that we need each other. The health benefits of social connections span from enhanced mood to lower blood pressure and result in decreased mortality. Probably depends on who you're with. Your blood pressure goes up or down, so I don't know what the study was, but Lisa Berkman and Leonard Syme completed the landmark study in 1979 and found that social ties to be a protective factor with regard to health. People who had unhealthy habits such as smoking, obesity, physical inactivity, but embraced close social ties lived longer than those who had more health-promoting habits but lacked important social connections. So when you're by yourself, it says it's not good for you. What do they do? Concentration camps, they put people in solitary confinement, kept them from everybody else, and that had ill effects on their life as well. So they're talking about the same kind of thing today that we have a lot of times in our society, don't we? We pretty much isolate ourselves in a lot of things that didn't used to be. I mean, we used to go outside and play kick the can and all kinds of stuff, you know, dig holes in the ground and make forts and, you know, shoot BB guns and all kinds of stuff, but today you don't have that. You go into your house and you don't see anybody. We need to be with others. It's called community, but being together is especially important. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So that means we're supposed to be encouraging each other. You know, nice job. Hey, you can do that. Those kind of things, not cutting things down. So a lot of the things we see are people cutting each other down, not building each other up. And I think a lot of that comes because they're afraid that they're not going to look as good if somebody else looks better. A lot of times in leadership positions, people don't want to have other people lead because they're afraid, well, they might like them better than me. Well, we're supposed to be giving responsibility to others, helping them learn to do things, giving them responsibilities so they can grow themselves and become good leaders. Your ultimate goal should be to make them better leaders than you are, right? Isn't our goal to make our kids hopefully learn more and be better at things and not make the same dumb mistakes we made? It says, not giving up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That last statement seems truer and truer all the time, doesn't it? You see the day of Christ approaching. It seems to get closer and closer to what's happening, but we know it's not going to happen until everybody hears. We talked about that a few weeks ago. So Hebrews highlights two important aspects of community: meeting together and helping one another, spurring one another on. So community always involves some kind of meeting or being together. So when you talk about community, it means people being together. It's not just yourself. It's people coming together. But it's always being together with a purpose. And for here, that purpose is to spur one another on, not only in their job, but in their faith, to encourage each other. So maybe somebody comes along and says, I'm having a real struggle with whatever it is, like Kelly talked about today. And you say, well, I'm gonna pray for that. And then in a few weeks, you say, how's it going? Right? So we pray for them, but we'd like to have an answer at some point. A lot of times we do prayer requests, you never hear what the answer is. You're like, well, do I keep praying for that, or is it done, or is it still going? So sometimes it's good to tell what's happening as well. 1 Corinthians 12 describes Christians as a body. It says that we're all connected. And he goes on to say we're individual parts of the body, and every part plays a vital function. I think I was reading the other day that I think it was your little finger that has like 50% of your grip strength. If you were to lose your little finger, your grip strength is cut down significantly. Did you ever think about that? I think it was a little finger. I don't think it was the thumb. I think it was your little finger. So if you lost that finger, good thing, Pete, you didn't crush that little finger. You can't grab things as easily as you could with a little finger. So each part of the body is important and has a special function. Community also talks about individuals being valued, and we're all part of God's design. So we're all different. Look around, everybody. Everybody's different. Nobody's identical. Even your identical twin is not necessarily identical. There are different things about even identical twins that you can tell them apart. Personality especially can be different, right? Temperament, all those kinds of things can be different. But God designed us like we are, and we're supposed to contribute to the whole. Just being together isn't enough. If you have a group of people just together, it doesn't really do a whole lot. But if you decide to do something as a group, it makes it a lot more effective than by yourself. And if you ever sit with people that young people a lot of times on their phones, sit in a group and they don't talk, right? They text each other back and forth, even though they're right next to each other. Ha, ha, they're laughing. You're like, what? Well, he just said this and they just said that. Well, you actually need to talk and be social with each other. So Jesus charges his followers with loving one another deeply. And community involves a group of people bound together by love. So we're supposed to love one another as we are. It doesn't mean you can't improve, does it? It doesn't mean you can't learn more things and get better. Hopefully you're getting better each day. You're not the same as you were 5 years ago. Maybe you're more compassionate than you were. I know it's happening to me. I'm more compassionate in some things than I was probably 20 years ago. I see things more important. You might cry during a movie when you never would have cried before. You'd be like, that's stupid. And now you see the deeper impact of what they're actually saying or doing in that movie than you would have seen before, because you have a little more experience, life experience. Community doesn't happen automatically. You can't just throw people together and expect it to be a community. That's just a group of people. A community involves loving and caring for people. Some people have small groups, but just because you're in a small group doesn't mean you have a loving community. Some groups just meet, and they're not really very good at that. Other groups do meet, and they're really good at that. But encouraging each other one is valuable, and everybody needs to see that they have a role to play. Doesn't matter what that role is, we're all important. We don't all do the same thing here. We all have different things that we do, right? Some things that happen sometimes, though, is some people do everything, and other people don't do anything. You feel more a part of a community if you're doing something, if you're involved somehow, whether it's praying, whether it's sending out cards, whatever it may be, some kind of thing, helping clean up, could be helping vacuum, it could be any kind of thing. Could be helping in the Sunday school, in the nursery, whatever it may be. Maybe you're going to run the sound or the slides, and you're like, I could never do that. Really, it's pretty easy. Right, Alex? You just got to check on them once in a while and make sure it's still easy. You just click the button. She's got to try to keep up with what I'm saying because I don't put down any outline for her or anybody else back there. I say certain things and they're like, oh, there's a slide. But everybody does their job. If people stop doing their jobs, it'd be a whole different thing if one person stopped doing their job. If Tim, who's our cleaner, didn't clean the bathrooms, what would that be like? Wouldn't be very good, would it? If Kathy stopped organizing our dinners and things and things the trustees do, it wouldn't be very good. So everybody has a certain thing. If Verna stopped putting out the bulletin or answering the phone, you know, all those kind of things. Just think about those things. If somebody stopped doing those things, how would it be different here? But there are things that help foster a community to be united is to have a common purpose. So we have a common purpose here, and that's Jesus Christ. We're letting people know what Christ is like, who he is, right? How he's affected our life, how we're different, how they can be different in their life. In Philippians 3:7-11, Christ is preeminent. It talks about that. And the thing is, Jesus was kind of counterculture because he went to a lot of people who were not seen as the elite, right? He went to those who were poor, those who were suffering. He went to those who were doing things wrong. And he shared his love with them, but he also shared that he's the living water, right? He's the way. He didn't say, just keep doing what you're doing, you'll be fine. He said, no, you need to follow me and my word, and then you'll be fine. You won't be happy if you don't do that. And people still had a choice. Remember the rich young ruler? He said, I can't give up my riches to follow you. But the woman at the well went and told everybody, who she had five husbands, come and listen to this guy who told me everything about me. And Jesus even told her that he was the Messiah. So we have a choice in those matters as well. But we need to be concerned more about others. Isn't that a biblical principle? Be more concerned about others than you are about yourself. Not always that I get the first thing or I get the best thing or whatever. I know we've gone through potlucks before. Where's Helen? Sometimes we'll go at the end of the line. We've talked about this before. And there's like three potatoes left and a couple beans, right? And you just say, that's okay. Everybody got their food. Remember one time we went to a mission, and it was at Thanksgiving time. And they had all the turkey. The guy took the time to take all the turkey off and have it all like shredded, gave him meals and stuff. One guy came back and got a whole full plate of it, ate a few bites and threw it away. And it bothered me because I thought, how many people could have had that food? Right? Or even what if he'd take just half the first time and come back later? He could have had food for everybody else. But sometimes, you know, when we have all these snowstorms coming in, we go to the grocery store and this guy's got, you know, like 7 gallons of milk and 50 bottles of water. You're like, dude, you're by yourself. But, you know, a lot of times it becomes about, you know, what we need to have. Now, if he was getting that to be able to share with somebody else, that'd be awesome. If he said, you know, my elderly neighbor, she can't get out or he can't get out, so I got him some milk. Right? That kind of thing is different. I mean, we can plan and we can prepare. That's okay. But we don't need to hoard things for ourselves. We need to think about others in those situations. Maybe be the one who says, I can help you with this. I can donate that. I can give you this kind of thing. Looking at Pam smiling over there. She's that kind of person, her and Sam. They're just giving, friendly people who go out of their way to do whatever to help you out. We have all kinds of people like that here. I can't name every single one. But that kind of attitude, people notice that kind of attitude. Instead of, you know, you go to the store and there's one bottle of Pepsi or whatever, and you run there to get it first and get it out of the cabinet or whatever before somebody else gets it. I mean, we're humans. We have flaws. But we can make ourselves do things differently than maybe our mind is saying to do. We don't have to do that. We can just say, fine, no big deal. Right? Talking to Jim over there, and Jim's like, why you mentioned my name? Because he says, a lot of things he does, hey, God's in control. If that's going to happen, fine. If it doesn't happen, that's okay. God knows what's going on. And that's an attitude we need to have, don't we? God's in charge. He knows what's going on. He's looking out for me. He's got the best in mind. There's an acrostic that, I don't know if the coaches use it, but it's team. Together, everyone achieves more. Right? Together, everyone achieves more. We all do better when we work together. Anybody ever watch that show, Forged in Fire? Probably not very many. Oh, there's Trish back there. So it's about these guys. Brian, too. The thing is, they're making weapons, okay? Not a big deal. They're not killing anybody. They're just, it's just to see how good they are at making these weapons with different things. And they use coil springs, and they use all kinds of braided cable and stuff. And I was watching yesterday, and the spring was about this big around, or this cable, and all the guys got together, and one guy held the end. They all turned it to unwrap it. They couldn't have done it by themselves. They had to work together. Even though they're competing in a competition and who can make the best thing, they all decided to work together to get the material to start with, which I thought was kind of a neat thing. You don't see that very often. Most of them be like, get away from me, I'm going to do mine. But they worked together at a common goal to get that material so they could use it. So we're more effective if we work together. And the thing is, people have different experiences that you don't have, right? So what a good leader does is picks people around them that has experiences or talents they don't have that benefits everybody else. No one person knows everything, right? Right, Brian? Because we call each other and we'll say, this has happened, what do you think? And he'll call me and say, you know, this is mine. And I'll say, what? I don't know, might try that. So we, a lot of times, we'll talk about different things and try to figure out solutions to problems that we just didn't think of. So ask somebody else a different opinion. You know, if you're doing something in construction, Jim, what about this? How far apart are these things supposed to be and whatever, right? If you're doing plowing or shoveling or farming, you could call Pete and say, Pete, how do I do this without crushing my finger? You know that. And he knows now. He knows how to do all these things. So, but one reason churches fail is they fail to experience what community means. We're united around a common purpose, and we're accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as being the essential. So when I meet with pastors in the community, we don't talk about our denomination and what our guiding principles say. We talk about, do you believe accepting Jesus Christ is the preeminent thing of everything? And then we say, yeah. Okay, well, then that's what we're going to focus on. We're not going to focus on, do you believe baptism has to be running water or under the water or sprinkling? We don't focus on that part. We focus on accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the important thing. And if you agree with that, then that's our mission. So we're all going to come together and say, this is what we're going to try to do, is tell people that. And if they want to pick a church that has whatever their principle says and this principle says, they can do that. But we're not looking at those kind of things. A lot of times people say, you know, what about me? What about my needs? What about what I need? Right? We have needs, but it can't just be about that one person. Right? You watch Star Trek, right? The needs of the many outweigh the need of the one, James, Kirk, whatever. You know, he touches the glass. I don't know if you've seen that movie or not. But Kirk is in this thing dying of, I can't remember, some kind of whatever he got exposed to. And Spock is there. And they just talk about the needs. Maybe Spock is dying. Anyway, one of them is dying. They talk about the needs of the many outweighing the one. And sometimes we look at the one and not the many. If you don't believe that, look about some of our things that have been changed, some of the laws we've changed because one person complained and didn't like it. Where the rest of the people thought it was fine, but when one person spoke up, they changed it. It needs to be the many, not just the one. The only one we need to be concerned about, worrying about, is what Jesus says, right? Not what your neighbor may say about, are you going to church? Well, are you going back to that church again? Gee, your holy roller? Hope so. Going to church to learn about God, to be a better person, so I can love you better. So that should be our battle cry is Christ. Another enemy we have of a community is isolation. Proverbs 18:1. And I didn't ever remember reading this one before. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. So God says, don't isolate yourself from other people. You can't just keep yourself away from everybody. It's not good for man to be alone. He said that in Genesis, right, when he created the woman. It's not good for man to be alone. Otherwise, he would have said, we'll just leave you there, man. You're good by yourself. But he didn't say that. We all hear about the power of one, the power of one, right? We only have the power of one when we all come together as one, not just one person. But everybody say, you know, I value my privacy. That's okay, but you can't stay hidden all the time by yourself. Not wise or godly to isolate yourself. So one of the remarkable things about our society is isolationism seems to be growing. How many of you remember hanging up clothes on the line in the backyard and talking to your neighbor, hey, what's going on today? Or a neighbor would just stop in. Your door would be open, they'd just stop in, hey, they'd just come in the house and whatever. And what do you see now today? They go in their garage, and the garage door closes. You don't see them again until the garage door opens and they drive out. Right? Even in the summertime, when you're mowing your lawn, I don't know about you, but I hardly ever see my neighbors at all. Occasionally mowing the lawn, but hardly ever. I know some of them around us, but they probably don't know who we are. They probably don't know our names. Do you know all the names of your neighbors that are near you? Nowadays, it's like, who is that? Who's this? They moved in, but they're new people. I haven't met them. You know, those kind of things. Where before you would know. And if you did something wrong, they'd call your mom and say, you know what? They're doing this. You're like, oh, dude, I'm in trouble when I get home. Right? And now the thing is, you know, you don't know me and I don't know you. But it makes you feel safer. We know a few of our neighbors across from us, and when they go on vacation, they'll say, I'm going to be out of town. Can you get my mail? And then I got their phone number. The other day, the one neighbor left their garage door open. It was like 11 o'clock. We were out walking or something. So I ended up calling them and saying, you know, your garage door is open. Oh, I forgot about that. So then they shut their door. Those kind of things. That's what you do. or their garbage cans laying on the road, and maybe you take it up for them. Or you have an older person that can't get around, and you just shovel their drive or their walkway or something. And then you don't go to the door and say, that's $20, right? You did it because you're their neighbor. And you try to help them out as much as you can. And that makes it fun. But once we got cars and internet and cell phones, people got more isolated, didn't they? I don't have to go out now. I can just order my groceries online. Watch my sermon online. I can text you a message. I don't have to talk to you. Better if you can actually meet and talk. Go out to lunch, have them over to your house, whatever it may be. Have them actually just stop in. Sometimes I just stop into people's houses. Sometimes they freak out. Like, oh, yeah. Sometimes they don't. Just depends on who it is. Oh, the bathroom's here. Put that away. I can't see you. Other times, like, hey, come on in. So I don't try to do it all the time. But if I'm a neighbor, sometimes I just stop in. If you don't want me to come in, then just do like you do for everybody else. Just don't answer the door. But if I hear you running around in there, I'll be like, I know you're in there. Another thing that helps fuel isolationism is busyness. We're just too busy. Got too many things going on. I can't do this. I got to do this. This is going on. I got that meeting. I got to call this person. I have to go there. Right? Our schedules are full a lot of times. And then I've heard it said, I'm not there yet, but when you retire, how did I live my life before? I'm so busy now I can't keep up. Right? You have to plan. You have to schedule. Even if it means scheduling time with your spouse, you schedule it and say, this is our time and this is what we're going to do. And if something comes up, I've already got an appointment, right? So you make those appointments, you make those opportunities. If you want to be with friends, you schedule those kinds of things. Consumerism also goes against community. We have to have things, right? I got to have this, I got to have that, I got to buy this, I got to buy that. I need stuff, I need all this stuff. And then as you get older, you start looking around like, what is all this stuff? And then when you're not there anymore, your kids go through, right, Donna? Kids go through, I'm like, what is all this stuff? And you're like, whoosh, 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 whoosh. We need to go through and reevaluate what's really important with all of our stuff that we have. And it's bad when stuff becomes more important than people, right? Before we got married, I was like that. She scratched my car door. Brand, a new car. We're in a parking lot. He's like, what? And the wind blew it open. I was like, oh, should I marry you or not? I don't know. Well, it wasn't that bad, but I was really possessive of my car. It was a new car. I never had a new car before. And then you start thinking, it's a car. It still bothers me if somebody scratches my car, but it's not the end all. It's not more important than people. There was a quote that I found that said, my father taught me to value people more than things. People are more important than things. If something gets broken, it's a thing. It's just a thing, right? But to some people, it's more than a thing. Instead of loving people and using things, sometimes you use people and love things. You're not going to use people too many times, and then it's going to be your relationship is done, right? You need to treat people with respect, love, and care like you want to be treated. You need to be able to share things with other people. They need to be responsible when you borrow something from somebody. If you borrow something from somebody, if Kim lets me use her car, I was going to ask you after service for that. And I bring it back, and it's got a big dent in the door, or it's got a flat tire, and I was like, thanks, Kim, for letting me use your car, and I walk away. If I do something to damage that person's thing that I borrow, I should make it, I was always taught, you make it as good or better than when you got it. Right? If we did that, how much better would things be for us as people? Somebody brought something back better than what you gave it to them, or at least in as good a shape. Instead of driving their car or whatever, and then they had a half tank of gas, and you come back, it's got a quarter tank of gas. I left you some in there. Isn't it be better if I said, I filled it up. Thanks for letting me use that. I filled up your car for you. I checked the oil. I checked all stuff. Everything's good. Wouldn't that make people even want to be more generous when you're treating them the way they should be treated and their things they're supposed to be treated? Bottom line, we can't remain separated and expect to be a community. We can't be separate from people in town and expect them to know we're even here unless we get involved in things in the community. We go to events, we talk about things, we If you're in West Jeff, run for office or whatever it may be, if you need to on the school board or wherever it may be, or just go to the meetings and make yourself known that you're here. I was in one of the meetings last month when they did the swearing in of the mayor and all that stuff, talking about what they're going to spend for the community and things. And I said, I don't know if I can ask a question. They're talking about buying some equipment. I said, what equipment are you buying? They said, oh, you can ask. So they told me they're buying, you know, this backhoe and all this other stuff, but I didn't know. I thought, if I'm in the community, don't I want to know what they're spending money on? Even though I'm not in this community necessarily, but the church is here, so I have a responsibility to communicate and know what's going on here as well. But it was just talked about in the budget. Yeah, we're going to vote on this now for buying this equipment. And I was like, well, wouldn't I want to know what the equipment is if they're going to buy it? So they told me what it was, and then they went out with their meeting. But those kind of things, we can get involved, and we can ask questions, life-wise. I know some of you have been to some of the meetings of that where people have asked questions, and we can still ask questions. Now, hey, what's going on with that? Why are you doing this or why are you doing that? It's okay to ask questions. That's what they're there for. The problem I don't like about some of those meetings is they don't answer you back. They don't answer you back. So if you ask them a question, why are you doing that? They just look at you. Because that's one of their things. They don't answer. Maybe they don't want to get in an argument or something, but they don't give you an answer. Sometimes you have to write them. And then sometimes you get an answer, sometimes you don't get an answer, but you have to stay consistent if you want to be involved in community. Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many words, many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together and with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to their numbers daily who were being saved. Why did he add to their number? Because they were a fantastic example of what community is, love and fellowship and caring, because they actually cared for people. It wasn't just a number, a notch on the belt. When we do membership here, we don't pressure people to become members. We just say, if you want to become a member, that's fine. It's not like, oh, I'm going to put that one down. Oh, I've got that one. We do it a couple times a year. So it's not about us trying to get people to come in. It's if they want to come in, they're fine. If they don't want to be a member, that's okay. It doesn't mean you're bad if you don't become a member. It just means you can't vote on some of the things or hold some of the offices. That's all that it means. But they listened. The first thing it says, they ate together. Sounds like they had a potluck and a prayer meeting. Right? They ate together and they prayed. They had fellowship together in the community, in the church, in their homes, and they got involved in things. We need to do things like we did last night. We need to have breakfast together. We need to do trap shooting, watch football games or baseball games or basketball games or Olympics or whatever it is. Watch those things together. Participate in prayer meetings. Join the choir. Help one another when they're in a bind. Do all those kinds of things. That forms community, right? Just go to somebody's house one day and say, hey, what are you working on? Can I help you with it? Whatever it may be. You may say, I don't have time. You have the time. Is it on your schedule is the question. Is it on your schedule, right? You can schedule things. Some people are so overwhelmed with what they're doing now, they need help, but they're afraid to ask. Sounds like guys, right? I've done a lot of jobs that I thought that was stupid. I should have had somebody help me. My wife's aunt's church one time has a huge overhang. Somebody backed into the post. So me, being stupid, took my car jack, and I jacked up that whole section with my car jack, pulled the post out, left the car jack there with the post on it, not thinking I could blow the piston out of it, and the whole roof would collapse. Got it welded, put it back in, and it was fine. But then I thought later on, what if that piston would have blown out? I would have lost half the roof of that church, and I'd be responsible for that. I should ask somebody for help, but I didn't. So different things like that. I've had all kinds of situations. I can probably tell you a lot of things that I've done. But I won't. Ecclesiastes says two are better than one. Imagine how much more you can accomplish together. But that takes being humble, doesn't it? Being willing to ask for help. Nobody wants to ask for help, really. You know, I need help. Could you help me with this? Plenty of people out there saying they need help, right? I need help. Some of those people I believe and some I don't believe that need help. I wish I could tell which ones were sincere and really needed help and which ones didn't need help. I struggle with that all the time when I see these people holding these signs up. You know, former veteran, God bless, I need help. I don't know if I should really help them or am I enabling them to not do what they should be doing. So it's a really tough choice. You got to see what God tells you to do. Sometimes you help them, sometimes you don't. But talks about one lifting the other one up. When somebody's there to help you out, they can lift the other one up to encourage you. If you're sick, whatever it may be, if you're depressed, they can help lift you up. It's hard to lift somebody up when you're laying on the ground, isn't it? When you're laying down, it's hard to get somebody up. You ever try to lift somebody up off the ground that's fallen? Not an easy task. But if they're able to kind of help you and you help them, you can do it. Or have somebody else come in to lift you up. It's tough to recover sometimes when you've fallen down and you can't regain your footing. But if somebody's encouraging you, you can do this. You can make it. My wife ran a marathon, or was it a half? It was a marathon. Her brother and sister were in there with her, encouraging them. Yeah, we can do it. Come on, we can do this. And they got through it. And me and the rest of family and kids were like, yeah, you guys can do it. You can do it. See, we were encouraging them. Encouraging them that they could do it. I knew they could do it. I wasn't going to do it, but I knew they could do it. But there's things that we don't think we can do that God can help us do. We just need to be pushed sometimes, sometimes prodded, sometimes saying, could you do this position or could you help in this job? You're like, oh, I've never done that. Okay, well, I've never been a parent before either, and it worked out fine, right? Think about those kind of things that God has you do. So, two are better than one because I think that's God's design. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thanks for being with us, for new members coming in, for the song, for the worship together, that we're a body united in Christ. Help us to love and encourage one another, and help us to know that we're better than one as we work together, because that's your design and your name. Amen.
Let's stand this morning, shall we? Just a closer walk with thee. Father, we just thank you for being in your house. We pray that we'll lean on you this week. There's going to be challenges in every one of our lives. And as Pastor has said, we're not on our own. We need fellowship. We need a church. And two are stronger than one. Lord, we need you, first of all, primarily, to walk with us. We pray that we'll let you do that this week. In Jesus' name, amen.